Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the ARC Digital Transformation Viewpoints podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things related to digital transformation in energy, industrial, and critical infrastructure applications. The podcast is the creation of the ARC Advisory Group Digital Transformation Practice. ARC advises leading companies on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at ARC_advisory. Or please go to the website at www.arcweb.com.
Welcome to my first Industrial AI podcast on behalf of the digital transformation team at ARC Advisory Group. I've been running on industrial AI and industrial grade data fabrics since returning to the analyst community a few months ago. Start with my strategy report on the industrial AI revolution, or should I say evolution? If you want to catch up with my coverage. But after attending Aviva, Rockwell Automation, Siemens, Microsoft, and AWS events over the last few months, I think the cloud AI wars have only just begun. So I'll be interviewing many of the leaders at the heart of making AI industrial grade over the coming months. For my first podcast, I'm really pleased to be joined by Dustin Johnson, the Chief Technology Officer at Seek. Dustin, please tell us all about your credentials and background in data fabrics and AI.
Absolutely. Hi, Colin. I'm also happy to be here. And I've spent the last 10 years of my career at Seek. I'm a CTO and a founding partner there. And at Seek, we are building a self-service analytics platform for time series data in the industrial manufacturing space. So when you couched your recent positioning paper as revolution, but rather evolution, I very much agree with that. That's been a theme for us here at Seek of trying to deal with the wave in Gen AI interest. Some may say hype, when we've been working in this space for the last decade or so and really focusing in the last 5 years on ML technologies and AI technologies, and now also the generative portion of that. And so I spend my nearly every day working with companies to bring technologies like generative AI to their space.
Okay, thanks. Well, you kind of teed me up on the first question I wanted to ask you, which is that generative AI is all the rage. We'll get into whether it's hype or real. And that's really my first question. Is the hype justified? So maybe talk about that, but also there's probably a few myths. I certainly wrote about a few myths in that strategy report, but I'm sure there's a few that you want to debunk before we jump into what's real in the industrial AI space.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're right. You know, with all hype trains, there's always at least a kernel of stuff actually worth getting excited about in there. And I personally believe that there's a lot to get excited about when it comes to AI. The generative portion of it, the reason why I believe that's really kicked off the massive wave of interest right now is because it's just such a good human machine interface piece, right? It really brings the computer closer to the individual. And so I think it's good reason that there's hype here. And I think that it can actually really help our space, or at least you know, the industrial space, when it comes to frontline SMEs and operators, right? It can be leveraged to be faster and more efficient at what they're already doing today, right? It's a powerful tool when integrated correctly into tools such as Seek, and it can unlock additional approaches that were out of reach or cumbersome to use. For instance, generating, you know, Python snippets or configuration snippets, you know, working alongside existing analytics techniques can just help immensely. And freeing up those SMEs to do stuff that, you know, they're not able to do today because they're doing repetitive tasks and things like that. But there's a healthy dose of you know, myths or misconceptions in there, right? You know, like, first off, the thing that I hear all the time is that, you know, is AI going to take my job? And I just so vehemently disagree with that. You know, like AI is, it's not meant to replace people. It's meant to empower them, right? AI needs people at the end of the day. And I hope we get into this topic later on. You know, there's fundamental issues with hallucination and, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But it absolutely, you know, even generative AI, even the impressive stuff coming out of OpenAI needs a fair amount of human oversight. So just like anything, there's a fair amount of hype, but there's that kernel of truth that I think we can't dismiss out of hand and shouldn't dismiss out of hand.
Yes, I think we agree on there's a lot of hype that there, and I always like to remind people that I've got gray hair and I've been working on AI related technologies for 25 plus years. So the generative portion, even the generative portion of techniques isn't new, but I think the breakthroughs, and you've touched on it really in terms of making a whole slew of software much more accessible, just changing the way we interact with software in general, I think is really where I see the real breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you talk about Python. I mean, I'd take it a step further, and having been at Rockwell's conference, you know, they're showing kind of generating code for PLCs, right? So how many people really come out of college with any knowledge of how to do that? So I think there's a it can solve some real problems in terms of our skills gaps in manufacturing. So I think we probably need a whole dedicated conversation on just the impact on people. And I know later on we'll talk about that intersection of people, processes, and technology. But maybe you touched on hallucination. So let's talk about some of the challenges as people are looking at AI broadly, and particularly the new challenges brought in by, let's call it breakthroughs in generative AI. What are the challenges that you think that your customers, manufacturers, industrial organizations more broadly need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So at the end of the day, right, it's really important to bring these modern technologies to manufacturing, in industry just in general. I think as your paper that you alluded to in the intro there highlights is, you know, we can all fire up ChatGPT and get value out of it, but influencing and enabling the industries that manufacture our daily lives is really important. And when you're bringing technologies into the industrial manufacturing sector, you have to be aware, and I believe everybody is, that there are real ramifications, right? Like if you get a hallucinated response to summarizing an email for you, you know, it's not the end of the world. Maybe you get a little bit of egg on your face, or, you know, if you don't catch it. But if you run into those same problems in industry, the results can be catastrophic, right? And so it's really important that those results have an easy validation loop, right? So that that the consumer of those results, which is ultimately a person, or people, have an easy way of tracing back and validating that those results are accurate, right? And so they must be validated. And that workflow, we focus a lot on this at Seek, and I believe it's one of our main advantages that we bring to the marketplace, is that when you get a result, no matter if it comes from AI or ML techniques or just standard first principles modeling techniques, that you can double click into those results and get back ultimately to the raw data powering them, right? And I think that's really important for all industries, but it's especially important for the regulated industries and for situations like manufacturing plants, where, you know, lives are at stake, both in the plant and in the products that the plant produces. So, you know, I see, you know, in the beginning we talked about how generative AI in particular kicked off, you know, the public imagination here, and ultimately I think we need to be able to bring that imagination, you know, closer to the actual data. And Seek's contextualization capabilities enable that. In my mind, I think that's a critical thing that all products in the industrial manufacturing sector need to bring to their users.
Okay, I think you've touched on a number of topics there. The data is what I want to zero in on, right? Because everyone likes to talk about the billions of parameters that these large language models, and not just large language models, foundation models are leveraging today. But I was reminded at the AWS reInvent that manufacturers generate way more data than almost any other industry, right? And so all of these AI systems ultimately need to be trained using that underlying data. Hence, when you look at kind of our model for people, processes, and technology, we kind of put industrial data fabric at the center of that. The fact that it still relies on governing and managing that data, and you hit the magic word there, contextualize, right? So not only does it have to be valid data, but somehow you've got to put it into context. And not a lot of these large language models have been trained on your factory's data, right? They haven't, right? And I think that's at the root of why we really have to think about how do we fine-tune or pre-train or talk about RAG techniques, whatever it is. There's a lot more to industrial AI than large language models from the big Gen AI pioneers, right? And so how do you recommend that companies really get started, or leaders get started with that data problem and the impact on people, processes, and technologies in their industrial organization?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you hit on so much there, but I want to focus in on the contextualize, because that really just that really, you know, strikes a nerve with me, because I just feel so passionately that it's at the core of the next, you know, upskilling, the next stage, I suppose, in being able to unlock the insights hidden in the data that's just captured so well within plants, is when we look at Gen AI, it's trained on, you know, the World Wide Web, right? It's trained on the body of human knowledge captured therein. And that data tends to be very wide, right? It's very well interconnected. It's described well. It's relatively easy to train on that data, as tough as that that is in at the, you know, the entire net scale, but at least it's well interconnected and has context for itself. Time series data doesn't, right? Time series data tends to be like, you know, a signal that's sitting there dutifully capturing the temperature of some random sensor in some random plant, and without additional context, it's meaningless. Right? You need to know where in that plant, you need to know what process it's actually working on at any given time. And for a continuous plant, you know, let's say a refinery, it's relatively static what that sensor is doing. But when you start looking at batch processes, you know, sensors and things within bioreactors, for instance, what that bioreactor is doing at any given moment changes completely. From day to day or from hour to hour. And so the context is so vitally important, and it's not something that exists readily in one data store. It's across many data stores. And furthermore, that knowledge isn't captured. A lot of the connecting tissue between those data stores, it lives in people's minds. Right. Oftentimes it lives in the process engineers' minds, and being able to give them a platform by which they can train, teach that system through the process of using it, what the interconnective tissue is, enables language models, or rather AI techniques to operate on that data, right? And so our strategy at Seek is to learn as the user is using the tool, how best we can serve the user, and that's an important foundational concept that we have both for the specific ML and AI technologies, but just in general within Seek, right? It's not like a big configuration phase where you set aside a year or two and you configure everything perfectly and then you start getting value out of it. You know, we really believe in this kind of organic iterative loop. And we see new techniques helping with that loop. And you talked about the people and processes. That is just so important, right? You heard people laced throughout my answer, and it's really their expertise and that enables a lot of that.
Yeah, I think there's some aspirations that whatever the AI technology that's applied, it will somehow help us address the backlog and the skills gap that we have in manufacturing. So I'm very hopeful. I don't necessarily see it replacing people in manufacturing. We already have that massive gap. So I feel like it's just going to help us address some of that gap and actually make it more attractive to work in manufacturing if we keep up with that technology and think about how to augment people's skills and enhance their skills over time. But as you know, when we were talking beforehand, we said the danger is we're going to agree too much, right? but let's get back to the fact that we do agree that some of the foundations here are really that for any AI solution, any AI technique, that data, high quality data, is at the core. And I wrote a piece following kind of Microsoft Ignite a few months ago about the need for industrial grade data fabrics and why many of the data fabrics, whether it's coming from Microsoft or obviously lots of people are talking about data fabrics, but they don't all do a great job with the massive amount of, let's use time series data as a proxy for just industrial data more broadly, right? Yep. And you need to process that for many of the industrial AI use cases, particularly ones in factory, but even as we get into product design or you're getting into service use cases, many of them need that insights from that data. So you're a partner with both AWS and Microsoft. So tell me more about what Seek does to add to those hyperscalers, data fabrics, with your tool set and your solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're very much right. You know, when for folks that aren't familiar with time series data and its peculiarities, it can seem like all other types of data. You know, just stick it in a data lake somewhere, and we'll be able to use what, you know, the same techniques that we use for all other data. And a big part of the reason why we created Seek was because that's simply not true. You know, it would be awesome if that was true, but time series data is its own beast. And if you try and treat it like every other data, then you will find out that it is its own beast. I am confident of that. And so what tools and techniques that Seek uses is basically you can look at our suite of tools and you can say, one of the things that binds them all together is that we are a time series to tabular engine. And that allows us to be a good complement to a lot of the data fabrics that are out there in getting that time series data, kind of unlocking it into those fabrics. Because without it, you really can't. I mean, by and large, the fabrics that are announced for Azure and AWS kind of gloss over the time series piece or just simply don't support it. There was an announcement, you know, that Aviva is now partnering with Microsoft to integrate Aviva Connect into Microsoft Fabric, their One Lake architecture, and that's obviously a great example. But I'm still they're still going to need to be ways of actually making use of that time series data and aligning it and unlocking it. And those that are familiar with Seek will know that we have a technology within Seek called Capsules. And it's a relatively simple thing when you think about it, but it's just a time region that can have properties on it. And that's our way of pivoting time series into tabular, right? You know, a capsule can be thought of as a row in a table. The properties can be columns, and those capsules that are part of a condition are able to be dynamically created by anybody using Seek, right? And so you can think of them as a conversion from time series to tabular, but you can also think of them as labeling or feature extraction. And, you know, this is back to the AI and ML piece. That's how we have built our ML tooling on top of time series data, is by leveraging these capsules that you know, really unlock the power of the time series data.
Tell me more about some of the Seek customers and how they're actually leveraging these capabilities to make it real for those that may not be familiar with you.
Sure. Yeah. So we've got a few. You know, I'll focus really in on the AI and ML features that we've been working on. It's kind of setting Gen AI aside, because we have been working for, you know, the better part of 5, 6, or 7 years in some cases on bringing ML techniques and technologies to our customers through our process health solution. So one example would be the natural gas provider Williams company, and they've used the process health solution to switch from a rules-based monitoring approach, which is really difficult to implement and maintain at scale, to an engineer friendly and transparent multivariate machine learning approach. And this right off the bat identified various process upsets and generated very significant savings for their large gas gathering operations, like, you know, measured in the millions for them. And and for industrial coating resins and additives producer Allnex, we use the same process health solution to identify a contributor increasing likelihood of failures in product development campaign. We're able to, you know, not we in terms of like Seek as a services thing, but we as in our platform was able to lead them to some tweaks that allowed them to realize some pretty significant savings. And those two customers are public, but obviously we have dozens of customers that are a little more shy. I think a key thread through all of them is being able to bring machine learning techniques to bear on just the hordes of data that they have, to enable the machine to do the spotting for them with tight customer review to make sure that it's learning correctly, that the machine learning is progressing correctly. But you can deploy that across a fleet of assets and do things, you know, like smarter preventative maintenance and you know, more accurate downtime prediction.
I published some 25 industrial AI use cases, just to make the point that there's a lot more than the Gen AI use cases, which are typically customer service and chatbots, right? And they obviously deliver terrific value, but one of those was obviously the predictive maintenance quality, as kind of two of the biggest that we see in production or production operations, depending on how you like to describe it. And we haven't published it yet, but we've kind of got a leaders laggards research results coming in, which are kind of showing that those are the most mature, right? Mm-hmm. As we'd expect, just reinforcing the fact that AI isn't new to us in the industrial world. But let's come back to the Gen AI. You explicitly excluded that because you're obviously delivering a lot of value from tried and trusted techniques. So let's talk, maybe close this out with a few thoughts on how you're thinking about Gen AI and applying Gen AI to the Seek platform.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're very right. I excluded those when talking about it, just because those are so specific to the industry that we serve. And as you said, like, you know, predictive maintenance is a big one. But there's like, just to flesh that out a little bit more. You know, I mean, we have a customer that's doing NOx compressor failure detection, or oil export pumps, to be able to identify, again, you know, if past downtime events are predictors of future downtime events, detecting sugar crystallization or contamination during a sterilization step of fermentation, pressure spikes during chemical batch processing, right? It's not limited to a small set. You know, I think you said you've identified some 20 or so, and it's broadly useful, I think, to have that tool in the toolbox. When we circle around to Gen AI, to get back onto the question there is, so, you know, when you combine Gen AI with an advanced analytics platform, such as Seek, it's purpose built for operational time series data, you're just going to see better, faster decisions, right? Which result in less waste and more profits and innovation. Breaking that down, there are a few key points, right? So enhanced decision making, by providing summaries and detailed explanations in a natural language, it's easier for domain experts, you know, subject matter experts, to understand the full picture and make those data-driven decisions with better accuracy. So that's the human-machine interface piece, right? Generative AI capabilities will enable those experts to iterate faster, right? So leading to just a higher efficiency of analysis and more predictive power, kind of like what we were just talking about, right? It just brings more horsepower to bear while making those. And then there's the onboarding and training piece. And this is the piece that I think we're focusing on right now within Seek, because if you've got a platform that can deliver value, but people don't know how to use it or are intimidated by it, then it's useless. And like I was saying before, one of the core ideas of our mission is to bring the humans further into the loop, to empower them, to enable them. And so it's really important to be able to onboard them into that, right? And so, you know, we can mitigate the risk and challenges created by skill shortages, even, you know, by upskilling, you know, operational SMEs in days and weeks, and, you know, reduce their frustration and increase innovative and fun workspaces, and attract new talent, as you were talking about. So, you know, it's all about empowerment in my mind. And so onboarding and training is a big piece, and then helping with configuring and operationalizing things at scale. Right. Like if you can come up with something where you can monitor a pump, that's great. Monitoring 100 pumps, you can probably point and click your way through that. But 1,000, 10,000, you really need a pretty decent assistant there. And I believe that Gen AI has a large role to play in that area as well.
OK, I'm just conscious that we're probably coming up to close to time here, and we could probably talk for hours on this, and maybe we should check in a year's time or so, because I think we'll still be talking. Maybe we won't be talking as much about the basics of Gen AI. Maybe we'll be talking about many, many more enhancements and evolutions of the techniques. But I'm really thankful for having you as my first guest on the podcast series. Let me give you an opportunity maybe to close out with any final thought before I just wrap up with a call to join us at the ARC forum in February.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Colin. I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. As you said, we're both very passionate about Gen AI, AI and ML. And I think for the same reasons, right? You know, it's all about empowering that end user, and that end user in the industrial manufacturing space is oftentimes the process engineer, is the person with their hands on the keyboard, but ultimately it's the business, right? It's these factories, these plants that are powering our modern way of life. And it's vitally important that companies do strive to bring in modern, you know, contemporary techniques and technologies to further those as well. Right? It's not all about the latest social networking platform or anything like that. You know, we should be looking to leverage these technologies where they matter the most. And of course, I'm biased on where they matter the most. So I'm happy to keep the dialogue open with you and your listeners. Thank you for the time.
Great. Thanks, Dustin. I'm reminded of kind of a tagline I created while at a previous employer about manufacturing a more sustainable future. And I think it has everything to do with augmenting skills and that intersection of people with processes and technology, and now we're adding kind of AI to that list. Look forward to more podcasts and join Dustin, Seek, and I with many leaders in the industrial space in Orlando for the ARC Forum in February, where I'll be hosting a keynote with some major industrial automation companies and hyperscalers in my panel. And I'll have a track on various industrial AI topics, including something I think we're both very passionate about, which is that underlying industrial data fabric that makes it all possible. So with that, thanks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the listen, and look forward to the next podcast. Cheers, everyone.